This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good morning to you. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. Can you tell that I'm better? I think I'm better. I didn't come in the studio hacking up a lung. And Carl said, aim it a different direction, please.
It's a good thing we have a cough button. I'll just say that.
Yeah, but yes. There's no wall. All the coughs come this way.
That's true. I am thankful where I sit relative to Mark. The cough button is our friend.
Don't make me laugh, because that's when I'll start coughing again. Actually, no, I mean, I don't know. I've gotten, first of all, just let me say thank you to everyone who continues to give me advice on how to get rid of this thing, because I've got people who've come up with decades-old family medicine tricks to get rid of a cough. Unfortunately, I've tried most of them, and none of it has worked.
So what's the weirdest one that you've received? Can you think of one?
No, I don't know if any of them were weird. It's just that, you know, dehumidifiers and honey and lemon and hot water and tea and, you know, some alcohol. And
you probably like that one, right?
I didn't mind that one. That one I didn't mind trying out. But generally speaking, none of it has helped me a great deal. I'll tell you what I did yesterday. My friends over at Victor Men's Health heard me struggling on the air, and they reached out and said, you should come over and get one of our vitamin infusions. So I went over, they hooked me up to an IV, and they flooded me with vitamins.
Do you feel better?
I felt better immediately afterwards, I know that, and obviously it might take a little while for the real impact of that to wear on, or to have an impact. I do feel better. I don't necessarily sound great this morning. I'm not 100%, but I feel 100%.
I've been taking supplements because my husband has been on the verge of a sore throat. And so last Christmas we were sick. I'm like, this is not happening again, because our son is of the age where he's just excited.
Yes.
Every time he sees a Santa figurine, a picture of Santa, he runs around saying, ho, ho, ho. I want him to have the full experience this year and be able to be around, you know, not be worried about being around family if we're sick.
It's true. Today we want you to have the full experience, Kim, because today we celebrate your birthday. Happy birthday, Kim St. Ange.
Thank you. I appreciate the food. Carl, you brought in some donuts, and Mark,
I did.
It sounds like you had quite the experience at McDonald's to bring us some delicious food this morning, which I really appreciate.
So I have a complaint And I have a little bit of a brag about McDonald's. First thing I did was pull into the supposed 24-hour McDonald's on Clarkson Road in Chesterfield, only to be told the computers are down, because that's what happens to me every time I go there at 4 in the morning.
Wait, is this the same location where you went before and
yes.
you ended up calling the manager?
I did.
Okay.
I called the headquarters and left them a message,
okay.
and they finally called me back and said, we'll take care of it. You're not a 24-hour restaurant if at any point in 24 hours you can't take orders. So at 4 in the morning, that restaurant will not take your order. They just won't. There's always an excuse. I don't know if they're outside smoking. I don't know what they're doing. They're not serving food at a restaurant. Because as the manager pointed out to me one time, even if the computer is down for some reason, it reboots in about 3 minutes, and there's nothing affecting the grill. Like, they can cook your food while they're waiting the 3 minutes, but they won't even take your order. Just period. Just won't do it. So I'm thinking, oh, what am I going to do? I'm running late. I got to get to work. I got to be there. Show's on in, 35 minutes. What am I going to do? I whip out the McDonald's app. Yes, while I'm driving. And I ordered the food at the McDonald's on Hanley, which is open 24 hours. And I didn't know what to expect. Well, the one problem you have if you're trying to drive and accomplish something like that, which I know I shouldn't do, but I just have to say, there was very little traffic on the road this morning. It was kind of just me out there. I ordered 4 sandwiches. But because I couldn't pay a great deal of attention to what I was doing, I didn't realize it was buy one, get one free. So there are 8 sandwiches in that bag, just so you know.
Wow. All right. It did look extra full.
It doubled my order. Accidentally on purpose, so you get 2 sandwiches.
So we're all going to feast today.
Yes,
thanks.
We are. He's hot.
I appreciate not only double sandwiches, but also the fact that you went to 2 McDonald's this morning before the show started.
That's how much we appreciate you.
I appreciate that.
And there's also some hash browns in there. So just so you know, there is cheese on the sandwich, Carl. I just have to warn you in advance. But shout out to the McDonald's app people. The food was ready when I got there. I just had to wait behind several other people who weren't smart like me and ordered on the app.
There were several other people there at 4 a.m.?
Oh, 3 cars in front of me. Yes. Somebody's out there working hard overnight, you know what I'm saying? Or coming home late from a party. I'm never quite sure when I experience somebody at that hour, for sure. All right, lots of good stuff to get to for you. Last night, the St. Louis County Council had a meeting of Committee of the Whole trying to figure out who's going to be the next prosecuting attorney. They had both candidates there, and they were asking them some pretty hard questions, and there were some pretty outrageous allegations about, once again, Sam Page and some pretty rotten politics at the top of the St. Louis County government. It's pretty embarrassing. We'll get to that. We're going to get Mark Harder on here at about 8:20 this morning to talk more about that. We've also got Liz Hirsch-Naftali joining us. She is the aunt of one of the Gaza hostages. And she's trying to draw attention, as we're on the edge here of both Christmas and Hanukkah, to the fact that there are still hostages in custody over there. And we're going to talk about this in the 7 o'clock hour this morning. But first, Carl, let's get to our top story.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
And, of course, our nation mourns for those who were killed, and we pray for the recovery of those who were injured, and for the entire community.
Well, there she is. The brain surgeon is back at it, blaming the shooting in Wisconsin on gun violence. Not the 14-year-old mentally ill or 15-year-old mentally ill female teenager student who did the shooting. It must be gun violence.
It's a total dumpster fire. I think it's garbage. This is what Washington, D.C. has done. This is why I ran for Congress to try to stop this. And sadly, this is happening again.
Here we go again. If you feel like Charlie Brown, guess what? You're flat on your back this morning after yet another budget deal victory by Mike Johnson and the Democrats.
Police have now detained 14 people in reported armed home invasion. That's the same apartment complex where a lot of people were complaining about the armed Venezuelan gang members roaming the halls.
5 words. Guess what? Trump was right.
I received a phone call from someone on behalf of Dr. Page asking me to find dirt on Mike Archer.
I'm watching this. I got somebody, my friend Kim reached out to me last night and said, are you watching this committee on the whole? And I'm like, what? I'm like, what are you talking about? She goes, no, the St. Louis County Council tonight's having a committee hearing. It's not a full-blown hearing. It's not a full-blown council meeting. They're having a hearing on who should be, what the process is for selecting the next county prosecutor. So they have Court Van Oster, and they have Melissa Price Smith, I think is her name. And they're getting them up alternately and asking them questions about the process. You know, obviously he wants the job because he's already quit his job as a federal prosecutor. He thinks Page has the power to appoint him. She was already second in command in the prosecutor's office, and apparently most of the people that work there want her to get the job because she already knows how it works. And she's the choice of Governor Parson. Listen, I'm going to play this for you after the break, but listening to this, you know, for a county that has been through the likes of Steve Stenger, for a county where we know Sam Page has repeatedly, not even in many cases, tried to hide manipulation of the county council. He's tried to get council members kicked off. He's tried to just get them kicked off long enough to delay a vote so something wouldn't get on the ballot that he didn't like. He's tried to manipulate council members by paying them off if they wouldn't run for a particular seat so he could get in the person he wanted. I mean, the dirty politics in St. Louis County has really been unveiled by Sam Page. And yesterday, we heard another pretty outrageous example of it against a now elected council member who won't take office for another couple of weeks. He's the incoming county councilman, Mike Archer, who will replace Ernie Trakas. And the lady who might be the next prosecutor gave some pretty damning testimony against Sam Page last night and how he's tried to manipulate that election. I mean, it's election interference at its best and maybe something criminal at its worst. I don't know. I'm going to let her explain that to you coming up here right after the break. Carl, who is bringing us the national anthem on the birthday of one Kim St. Ange?
For the Ange, we have the Trumpeter Trio.
Oh. That, I don't care what you say, Carl Middleman, that is yacht rock.
That is definitely yacht rock.
If I'm ever on a yacht, that's the kind of rock I'm not going to be listening to. I'm just kidding. I mean, if you're cruising into the sunset, you're in the Bahamas somewhere, you're cruising into the sunset on a big sailing ship, and you can feel the spray
booze
of the water
cruise
in your face, and
no booze
you've
cruises
got a cocktail in your hand, and you might kind of get into the mood if you're listening to that kind of music. But I'm just saying,
anything with Michael McDonald in it or Kenny Loggins.
I'd listen Cross to anything if I got to be on a yacht.
Yeah, no kidding. Christopher Cross, Men at Work, Toto coming out to the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater, and your bonus this morning is Carl has scheduled this giveaway in the 5 o'clock hour when we normally don't do these. So you're listening early. You've got a chance to win the pair of tickets we're going to give away today. This is coming up August 5th. And I mean, I don't know. This is the question I ask every time. How many more years will these folks be touring? I don't know.
If you see the TV commercial, not long.
But regardless, you have a chance to win a pair of tickets, 314-241-9797. Thanks to Orion Wiggins, we will take caller number 12, 314-241-9797. Best of luck to you winning the pair of tickets to see Toto and Chris Cross there on August 5th. So.
And Men at Work.
And Men at Work. Don't want to forget Men at Work. All right. I mentioned the soundbite earlier from Melissa Price Smith. This is about a minute and a half. I just want you to hang in there with me and listen to it. This is her claiming somebody from Sam Page's office reached out to her back in October prior to the election so that she would dig up dirt on Mike Archer. Now, Mike Archer is an attorney. Years ago, he actually worked as a prosecutor. I don't know how many years that's been, but they thought for some reason they could find some dirt on him and use it against him in the election that just ended. Go to Ken 11, please.
Councilman, I was not asked during my interview. I received a phone call from someone on behalf of Dr. Page asking me to find dirt on Mike Archer.
Mike Archer?
The new council member.
Okay.
Who will take his seat in January. I informed the caller that I had never worked with Mike Archer because he had worked in the prosecutor's office. I told them I had no dirt on Mike Archer and that it was my understanding that he quit years before I began. I received a call 2 days later from the same person on behalf of Dr. Page instructing me to try harder. And we never spoke again.
Okay. And do you know about on or when that was, those phone calls?
It was prior to the formal interview process and to the appointment of Mr. Van Ostrand. But I don't know a date. I'm sorry.
So would that have been in October, September?
I would think October.
October. So that would have been before the November election?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. It was before the election.
It was before the election.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay. And that person that called you, who was that?
I don't recall who. I don't know the name.
Okay.
It was on behalf of Dr. Page.
Two people called her. She claims she doesn't know who it is. Now, I will take her at her word for that. But if one person called me twice, I'd have a pretty good idea who it was by the second time. But if it's not illegal on its face to apply pressure like that, I mean, at the time, she was apparently being considered for the Court Van Ostrand seat that he gave to Court Van Ostrand. And basically, she was being told, if you want that seat, you need to use your powers in the prosecutor's office, where she currently serves as an assistant prosecutor, to dig up dirt on a Republican council candidate who is currently on the ballot down in South County. This is the kind of underbelly of dirty politics that goes on in this county that other than Steve Stinger and everybody in the whole place being wired, you don't often get a glimpse of that.
It's corruption.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know if it's illegal, but it's certainly ugly, for sure. We're going to talk to Mark Harder from the county at about 8:20 this morning and kind of get his take. You could tell he was shocked when he heard this story coming out of her mouth, for sure. Coming up, we're going to get to Kim on a whim if she doesn't have her mouth filled with one of those McDonald's sandwiches over there. We'll be back in just a minute.
Kim on a whim.
Just imagine here for a second, being able to go to the grocery store, you're picking up your salad and you're picking up your soup or whatever else you need, and you're also able to pick up some ammo.
I love it.
That's what is happening at several states across the country, and it could be rolling out in more. It's not in St. Louis, the Missouri area at all right now.
Rats.
I know. But if
that's a convenience store. That is the definition of convenience. I pick up some salami and I pick up some 223 while I'm there. It's perfect.
It could happen. The company behind this, American Rounds, they're a Dallas-based startup. They put these automated retail ammo machines in these grocery stores. Like I mentioned, it's in a handful of states right now: Texas, Oklahoma, Alabama, and Colorado. Very much surprising about Colorado, right? Of all the,
well,
is that not weird?
Bear in mind that Colorado is, your impression of Colorado is warped by Denver.
Denver, that's fair.
Which is 50 square miles surrounded by reality. Everybody outside of Denver is a normal red-blooded American patriot, and the wackos have taken over Denver. But go ahead.
So there was a reporter who was doing a story about this, and she was talking to the guy who's behind the machines and with this company. He says, we don't call them vending machines, because when you think of a vending machine, you think of putting in a dollar or whatever, and you have your candy bar drop down.
Hey, if you can get ammo for a dollar, I'm sorry to interrupt. I'm in.
People would love that. Not quite a dollar. In fact, I'm not really sure how much they cost. But what you have to do is you, of course, pick the type of ammo that you want, but it asks you a couple questions. So you have to click a button saying, yes, I verify that I'm at least 21. It's not 18. It's 21. And you have to put your credit card in, and then you step back and there's a camera that's on top of these machines. And it has one of those features where you have to, it instructs you to, you know, turn your head to the left and then turn your head to the right. And it's scanning your face to make sure that it matches with your ID. You also have to answer a question if you're in distress. You just say, check, I'm not in distress right now. And then you pick your ammo and pay, like, and boom.
Like you're going to tell this machine you're in distress.
I am in distress, I mean, and I would still like some ammo, please.
I think that's a little silly. Maybe they should have a sensor on there where you stick your hand in there and it determines whether or not your pulse is rapid and you're under distress.
Ma'am, you're too stressed out right now. Buy ammo.
Of course, if the world is melting down, you would be a little stressed, but you might still need a convenience item like that.
You need that. This reporter was talking to different women, and some of them said, oh, yeah, you know, I carry, and I'm very, you know, I feel like we should be able to carry pro amendment too and all the things. But she said, I don't like the fact that you're able to get this in more or less a vending machine.
Why?
She feels like the accessibility of it. She talked about the distress thing of, well, how would you really know if you're in distress? And then the other part of that, though, would be, well, let's just say you're going and buying them where there's somebody standing behind a counter and checking you out. It's not like they really can tell in many cases if you're actually distressed. As long as you say, I'm not distressed, and you're not going crazy while you're standing there, how would they really know?
First of all,
you're buying them online, there would be no way to know. There's no sort of verification for that.
You're not buying a gun. It's the immediacy of it. I get that they're worried about. But you're not buying a gun. You'd still have to go somewhere legally and buy the gun. Even if you bought the gun illegally, you have to presume that everyone who carries a gun or buys ammunition has ill intent. And obviously, statistically, if you look at the number of criminals versus the number of guns in this country and crimes committed, that is not the case. The vast, vast, vast majority, tiny little minuscule percentage of people represent the criminals who use the inanimate objects of guns to cause crime, mm-hmm. to create crime or to injure other people. It's tiny. So again, you're willing to trample on the rights of the vast majority of Americans who maybe they're on their way to the shooting range and they need a couple of boxes of 45 or 38 or shotgun shells. They're on their way to hunt, and that's more convenient than driving all the way downtown to the big box store and buying the ammo.
Listen to the guy, Grant Major, who's behind the company that's doing this.
What is the idea?
We really did see a safer opportunity to change the ammo industry. We see an opportunity to use technology to take a social responsibility direction with the selling of ammunition, but protecting the Second Amendment for law-abiding gun owners that, you know, have good intention.
That's more or less what you were just saying. We're protecting the Second Amendment. The reporter you heard in the beginning asked that question as part of this report. She said, come take a little field trip with me. And the camera walks out and she's pointing the proximity of the store where you can buy the ammo to a school.
It's just across the street.
And she says, of all places, why did you pick here? Because the guy you just heard from, Grant Major, says, I have no intent. I'm not planning. My intention's not to put these all over the country at every single grocery store. That's not what I'm planning to do. We're being strategic about it. It likely won't be in every city. And his response, which I thought was good, was, you know, go across the street from the school and there's a store where you can buy ammo and you've been able to buy ammo for years. So
and probably
what,
weed.
How is this any different?
If it's in Denver, probably weed. If it's in St. Louis, probably weed. There used to be a law against selling it that close to a school, and now there can be a dispensary next door.
Well, yeah, there was the whole debate with the situation in the South City,
right?
Or Soulard area, something like that. Yeah, they opened up the dispensary despite parents pushing back and saying they didn't feel like it was okay. It's going in there. It'll be interesting to see how the reaction of this. There was apparently one that closed down, and the reporter claimed it closed down because of so much public pushback. The guy behind the company says sales were slow.
Yeah, you'd have to, like, I don't know. I'm a shooter. I don't practice even probably once a week, maybe once a month. I mean, I've usually got the ammo I need when I'm going to go to the range. I just don't know how often I would need that. Like, if I need some Freedom Seeds, I probably got them. I've planned ahead for that. But I just don't. That's my thing about it. Of course, I got to be honest with you. When the whole idea came out of a vending machine for DVDs, like the red thing at the outside of the McDonald's and all that, I thought that was the dumbest idea I'd ever heard. And then I realized how much people were using it. So maybe there's more of a market there than I thought. I don't know.
Maybe that's the future for a lot of things. They've come up with vending machines for not EpiPens. What am I thinking of? Where they had vending machines.
Narcan.
Thank you.
maybe the next step in the technology here is to have an actual 3D printer, and you can order a ghost gun to be made right there while you're waiting. And then it would just make life a lot easier for all of us who want to go out and commit crimes with ghost guns.
Well, that is really what they're wanting, right? For more people to commit crimes.
Just stupid.
Clearly, that is the goal of these companies that are doing this.
I mean, here we are again. I mean, I don't want to steal your thunder here. Listen to cut number one. This is the woman who wanted to be the leader of the free world, commenting on the Wisconsin shooting. Go ahead.
Another community being torn about and torn apart by gun violence. And, of course, our nation mourns for those who were killed, and we pray for the recovery of those who were injured and for the entire community.
No, Cammy, it was another community torn apart by violence committed by a mentally ill person who was literally screaming for help on social media. And nobody was paying any attention. But they still don't want to talk about the motive. This is so frustrating to me.
Oh, the mayor was weird talking about this incident. You have no right to know about these victims. I'm sorry. Yes, we do.
Yes.
We want to know because that can help us determine motive.
Well,
among many other things.
I'm just saying. Have you seen any reports on who the victims were?
Well, the update I heard this morning was that the teacher who was killed was a woman and that she had a daughter or a child who attended the school, and the other victim was a freshman girl.
So she killed two girls?
Yes.
And then the other two people who were wounded were...
Well, I thought there were six other people wounded.
There were six people wounded.
I'm not sure
about
them.
Two were in critical condition, I'd heard at some point. This was a mentally deranged individual.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they want to assign evil intent to an inanimate object that is a bullet that you might be able to get legally out of a vending machine if you are a law-abiding citizen. It's just crazy.
And keep in mind, they're putting the age limit at 21.
Yeah, that girl couldn't have gone to this vending machine and bought that ammunition.
Yep.
She's 15, number one. Even if she tried to use her mom's ID, the face recognition would have caught her trying to do it. It's just crazy.
Heck, that machine might be better at detecting if someone's not, like if they tried to use a fake ID, they might be better than just, you know, Joe Schmo who's at the counter who doesn't really care.
They've come a long way since those old cigarette vending machines, huh? You just pull the little lever and your...
Was there really a cigarette vending machine?
Cools pop out the bottom.
Uh-huh.
Most bars used to have them.
So gross.
You could just walk up and stick it was cheaper back then, your $1.25 or whatever in there, in quarters and pick your Marlboros and pull the little knob and sort of sounded like you were loading a pump shotgun, and the little box of cigarettes would fly out the bottom.
What does a box of cigarettes... What does cigarettes cost these days? Like a little...
I have no idea.
They're more expensive on the coast.
$8 or $10 a pack?
Oh,
I mean, are they $8 or $10 bucks a pack now?
Think if you smoked six packs. I know that's a heavy smoker.
Two.
Think
just even two.
How do you afford that?
Well, it takes a chunk out of your budget, for sure.
Also, you can also get the garbage cigarettes, too.
That's true. You can get the cheap ones, I guess. All right. We'll be back here in just a couple minutes. We'll talk more about this really bad budget deal.
The average across the entire country, $8.
$8 a pack. I was close. All right.
Expensive.
Happy birthday to a very special person. Keith Richards. You thought I was going to say Kim St. Ange, didn't you?
I knew you were going that direction.
Yeah, he's 81 years old today and still tearing it up on that guitar.
Still alive.
That's... Still living. Still kicking. He and Keith. Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
He is Keith.
Keith Richards.
Yes.
Yes.
Congratulations, Keith.
Who's the other one?
Mick Jagger. No,
the other guitarist.
Ron Wood.
Ron Wood. I was thinking of Ron Wood. I'm sorry. I thought it was Wood. That's nice. I love the picture of somebody. It's a picture of Keith Richards holding a baby, and it says he's holding Betty White when she was a baby because he's been around that long. That's pretty funny. I don't know. Hey, you know what? While you were sleeping, did you feel violated? I mean, just out of interest, just a question I feel I should ask. Because you were, whether you knew it or not, by your elected representatives in Washington, D.C. They struck a deal with the devils. That would be Chuck Schumer and the Democrats in the House. Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, is once again going to pass a budget just so they can all leave in time for the holidays tomorrow. And he's going to need Democrats to pass it. I think if we had a senator who would stand up and vote against cloture, argue against it, we might be able to block this thing. But you're going to have to get on the phone and work them and start putting in the phone calls this morning. I don't know if it's too late or not. Here are a couple of our conservatives talking about what's going on in Washington, D.C. Carl, let's start with cut number seven. Ralph Doyle.
Well, we're evidently going to take an 1,800-page document that we really hadn't read and going to pass it, add more debt. Very frustrating. It's opposite of what the Doe Commission is trying to do. We're going to continue to let the Democrats use the shut the government down, I dare you. If we're going to continue to capitulate, we're going to be in the same box. I'm not voting for the CR.
What about Speaker?
Look, that's a different time and a different place, I see.
Yeah. So what about the future of the speaker? My guess is Mike Johnson has stepped in it. I think the election of Donald Trump will spur some confidence in the conservatives in the House. They're still going to have a thin majority, but if this thing passes, it's a boondoggle. It's not just a continuing resolution. It's an omnibus. It adds hundreds of billions of dollars to spending. They claim it's for this or that, whatever. So basically, Donald Trump inherits a Democrat budget when he walks into office. Why would we put up with this? Make him accept something bare bones until the Republicans can take over in less than a month.
But we have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it.
Remember that? How did that leave you feeling when Nancy Pelosi bragged about that all those years ago? Seriously, here's Eric Burleson, cut six.
It's a total dumpster fire. I think it's garbage. This is what Washington, D.C. has done. This is why I ran for Congress to try to stop this. And sadly, this is happening again. I think that it's shameful that people that celebrate DOGE coming in, and yet we're going to vote for another $1 billion to be added to the deficit. And so it's ironic.
If you're feeding a person a crap sandwich with a smile, it's still a crap sandwich.
Yeah, this is a major crap sandwich, like one of those double-decker crap sandwiches. And there's no reason the Republicans should have confidence to stand up to this and say no. Our Republican Senate should stand up to this and say no. Why would they agree with this? I know they all want to get home for Christmas, but if you had done your job months ago, this wouldn't have happened. And now they haven't done their jobs, and they're adding billions, $100.4 billion, an additional $10 billion in assistance they're claiming for farmers. I mean, it's always something. The government is a greedy piglet that suckles on a taxpayer's teat until they have sore, chapped nipples. Ron Swanson was absolutely right, and this is living proof. We'll be back in just a minute.
Get more at 971talk.com.